If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Headstuff Plus.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Being a parent can be really challenging. It's normal to feel uncertain about whether you're doing the right things to raise healthy and happy children. That's why Child and Family Resource Network focuses on connecting pregnant parents and those with kids under the age of 5 with free support services to help them build confidence in their parenting journey. Everyone deserves to have someone they can turn to for support with parenting. Visit childandfamilyresourcenetwork.org today.
This show is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network.
Hello, I'm Niamh Kavanagh.
And I'm Gerard Farrelly.
Welcome to our show. Oh my God, that was like we
did it in unison.
I know, it was so unexpected.
We're getting so good at this.
I know.
Welcome to Agony Rants. We are here to be your support. Oh, that didn't last long.
Okay.
Welcome to Agony Rants. We are here to be your support group and to listen and to be your friends.
To take serious action if necessary. I think that's more your area.
That's probably your, yeah, it's probably my line. Yeah, 100%.
How are you, love?
I'm good. I've got a confession actually at the start of the show because you just heard our lovely theme music.
Yes.
And I was on Instagram last week. And I think maybe because we started recording the podcast, didn't maybe put it out. But the theme music is now also being used in an ad for this device that you can use to measure your ankles.
What the hell are you watching that you're seeing something that measures your ankles? I have never come across that.
It's Instagram. I think Instagram thinks I've got fat ankles.
If I showed you some of the ads that I get, sometimes I wonder what it is that's happening in my life that I'm getting them. I got ads one time from, you know, those little braces you used to wear, like men used to wear to keep their socks up years ago?
Oh, yeah, on their
legs. Talk about, maybe it's back to the ankle thing. I don't know.
Was somebody Googling suspenders on your phone?
I don't know. It wasn't me anyway, let me tell you. It's really tragic.
I once ordered a box set of Murder, She Wrote on Amazon. And then I kept getting ads for books that were called things like How to Have a Happier Life as a Gay Man. It's like, wow. So this week, our topic is, like, we did a bit of a shout out to see about wedding stories. And I kind of, honestly, I wasn't ready for this. I mean, I forget that loads of people do get married.
Okay.
It's a thing.
Yeah, I don't.
Not my bag.
Is it in your plan?
Well, I mean, it's always in my plan, but you know, there's lots of things. Like a major lottery win is also in my plan, Niamh. You know, running for president, also in my plan.
Listen, you're not allowed to do the president thing. You can do the lottery thing and then you can fund me for president because as a national treasure.
100%.
I'm so much better at hoovering and there's a lot of Hoover in ours.
Yes, a lot of hoovering in the
arts.
You'd be great. You can follow hot on the heels of Dana.
I won't have a bad word said about her.
She's I love Dana. She's lovely.
Yeah, she's really nice. Yeah.
I met her once. She was sewing.
I've met her lots, to be fair, amazingly. Because we live in the same house, you know, all of us winners.
Yeah.
We all live in the same house.
Victory Towers.
Victory Towers.
Victory Towers on Holy Now Road.
Yeah. I was going to be, you know, I was in kind of the top layer until 2010. Then I had to move down a couple of levels because obviously I won one, didn't win one. The other, only Johnny was in the penthouse.
Oh, yeah. But the thing about it is, Niamh, you're the youngest Eurovision winner.
Forever. No, no. So that's not true. Eimear.
Oh.
That's you out of the Eurovision club.
Oh, dear.
I'm so sorry for you.
So, okay, so you're the second youngest.
Thank you.
Eurovision winner. Okay, well, I mean, the natural order of things is you're just going to keep moving up the billing. So don't worry about losing one because, like, I mean, you know, in 20 years' time, is everybody going to be on the bill, Niamh?
Yeah.
You're going to move up. It's the way the world works.
Oh, my God.
It's the way the world works. So tell us, Niamh, tell us about your wedding.
Okay.
Did your dad give you away?
Yes, he did.
Oh, my God.
He did. Very gladly, actually, because I was in my mid-30s. He was well ready to get rid of me. I only wanted 40 or 50 people at my wedding because everything else in my life has been so public. So that was a big deal.
Okay.
So
nice.
Yeah. So actually, that's all we had. We had maybe 50 people, 50, 58. You were still at the fan stroke friend.
Yeah, it was injuncted. Yeah, I wasn't allowed within like 500 miles of the ceremony.
We weren't I moved into that section. You know, we were friendly. But, you know, it was like friendly from
I mean,
over
if it was
there.
Today, I'd be giving it away.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. Your father would be just sitting there furious, muttering.
Yeah.
Going, who the hell is he?
Once we had Tom, I said, right, this year we'll get married. And I literally emailed everybody, are you free this weekend? And organised it in one afternoon. I don't know what the fuss is about at all. I literally organised it all in one afternoon. Anyway, that's a whole other thing.
Wow.
I know, yeah. So, but of course, we lived in Carrickfergus. Well, we still do. And I'm from Dublin. So obviously half the family and friends are coming from the north and some from the south. So we decided to be incredibly cross-border fabulous and get married in Dundalk, which is kind of halfway between.
The level of practicality going on here, Niamh,
it gets better.
Very impressive.
It gets better. Well, obviously, because we'd had our children and Paul is a divorced Protestant, so not allowed to get married in a church. So we didn't get married in the church. So we got married in Newry Town Hall. So we have both sides of the border sorted. We should have got a grant for our wedding. All right, I'm telling you.
Yeah, 100%. I was just thinking that, Niamh. Like, okay. It's an example of how it should be done.
Except in order to get married in Newry, you had to be resident. One of us had to be resident for 10 days when we put in the application. Right. So we had to be resident.
In Newry.
In Newry. And so at the time, Tom was maybe, let's say Tom was about 6 months old and Jack was a year and a half. He would have been 2.5 at that point. And so we had recently decided we've been going in his mother and father's old caravan. So I got Paul to bring the caravan down to Kilbroney Caravan Park in Rostrevor. And I asked her, was it okay? Would that do? And she said, absolutely. The wonderful girl in Newry Town Hall. So my marriage license application says, Niamh Kavanagh of Kilbroney Caravan Park. So I actually got married.
What?
From a caravan park. And that is a true story, 100% story. And it was wonderful because it was in September. We went down for 10 days. Sure, the kids were small. Paul was working up in Belfast. So he kind of, you know, commuted up and down. The weather was lovely. There was maybe another 10 caravans in the... Now, Kilbroney Caravan is beautiful in Rostrevor. It's lovely. It's overseas. It's absolutely gorgeous. The weather was lovely in September. You know, the way you get that little Indian summer. Yeah.
That is unbelievable. And do you know what I love about that story is the fact that you were just like, yeah, I'm getting married on Saturday. Come, don't come. Yeah. Did your wedding predate the Good Friday Agreement? Because I feel like had they had you involved.
No.
It would have been an awful lot smoother.
No, I moved up but just after the Good Friday Agreement. As a matter of fact, a whole other podcast, as we say, I actually was in Stormont Hotel the night they signed it.
No way.
Yeah. I'm that's a coincidence, obviously. Clearly, I wasn't involved in it. I was on the Kelly show.
But you learned an awful lot.
I did.
Yeah.
I did. And you learned a lot well
from
done.
It. Yeah.
I told them, well done. I wasn't living up there at the time, but I did travel up and down a lot. But actually, I didn't move up until 1999. So I actually, it was a couple of years later. So
because I really think that, like, I mean,
I could have done it.
There are other politicians in this country that could learn a lot about cross-border politics from Niamh Kavanagh's wedding plan. Did you have a singles table?
I don't think we thought about that really.
You know the way they do that when if you're single going to a wedding and they just shame you. They're like, yeah, we're going to put you at the back with all the other losers and you can just look up, see what you could have won.
But anyway, yeah, that's my wedding story. And we had a really fantastic time. And I have to say, it was brilliant. And, you know, all of my friends and family had a great time. But actually, it was very informal. The only formal thing I had was the cake.
My take on weddings always is that the initial starting point of a wedding, like when you receive a wedding invitation, I don't think anyone goes, oh, brilliant. I think everyone goes, oh, God, how much is this going to cost me?
Yeah, it does cost a lot of money.
Bonkers.
I said
we went to 17 weddings in 2 years.
God, you're popular. I don't think 17. I've ever been. I got invited to a lot after Eurovision. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. I've been asked a couple of times to be. So three times I've been asked to be best man to somebody that I'd never met because they wanted like a comedian to give the speech.
Yeah, well, now the speech is fraught.
That's depressing.
Do you know what? I gave the speech at my wedding.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
The bride speech. My sister did the bride speech. Mm. It's a thing.
Yeah, well, funny enough, Paul.
And I'd
wasn't
say, how long did you do?
Oh, a long time. But
I'd say you were coming in at 45 minutes.
Yeah. No, it wasn't too bad. It was very emotional. And then I obviously got a few hits in, you know, in it. And the funny part of it was Paul.
When
wasn't,
you say hits, were you
as
like,
in I got a few things.
A few days, like revenge?
Yeah, you know, little moments.
I love
little
it.
Little funny stories, you know, the way I like to tell a story is, you know, it's always masked, like it's going to be a lovely thing, but it's not always. Anyway, but my, like Paul was not going to make a speech, but after my speech, he felt the need to get up and say something. So we had unexpected groom speech after.
That's called redress, Niamh.
I know.
Yeah. It's a writer reply. That's what that is.
I know. But you're right. It's that when you get the invitation, you go, oh my God, where am I going to have to go? How much money is it?
And I know, yeah.
And then there's the thorny issue of how much money do you spend on the gift?
I know, yeah. I was talking about this recently. I think 250 is
what,
where we're at.
250
quid.
You're kidding me.
I think that's where we're at.
I haven't been to one for a while, thank God. Well, you see, the thing, you see, I'm in a very unique situation. Generally, if I'm being invited to a wedding, generally, I either A, I'm being asked to sing at the ceremony, or B, I offer to sing at the ceremony. And the reason I do is because that has limitless value, and immediately you don't have to pay it by any. I'm not saying I'm a cheapskate, but it's
a couple of scratches
gift.
In a card. That's what you're essentially saying.
No, I think it's actually when I invited people to I specifically said, do not want gifts. The gifts will be you coming to stay with us. So do it one night or two night. Tell me which it is. I have it booked out. You just tell me. But I actually don't want anything. We had a house, we had stuff. Everybody has their stuff now.
Yeah.
They don't need. You know,
Niamh, I'm just going to say this. If I ever get married,
you want stuff.
I want a present. I want a present. I want it to be a financial strain for at least 3 months beforehand. And also, I won't book you to be the singer because I think you want to have a lovely time.
Oh, yeah, but you say that.
But I would be very annoyed if you don't get up and do 20 songs. if at 11 o'clock there hasn't been a couple of hits rolled out, we'll have a conversation. Okay. I actually had this horrible experience at a wedding. It was my cousin's wedding.
Oh.
Where, you know, the throwing of the bouquet. Did you have a bouquet? Did you throw a bouquet?
I had a bouquet. I did. Did I throw it? I can't remember if I threw it.
My cousin threw the bouquet. And this would have been back now. I was probably in my 20s. And I was, you know, only just coming out. And the bouquet landed at my feet. And I picked it up. And the whole room turned to me. And I had this panic of like, oh my God, I'm the gay cousin that just caught the bouquet. And I panicked and I did something that will haunt me to the day I die.
What did you do?
I threw it back. Like, I, but
was
I meant.
Was there a gasp in the room? Tell me there was a gasp.
But I threw it back with the like, oh, like all of these girls
that's a
that
mistake.
Were like, you know, like savages trying to catch the bouquet. Like I threw it back as if like, oh, throw it again.
Okay,
thinking. But when I threw it back, the bouquet landed at the bride's feet and shattered like glass. As soon as it left my hand, I was just like, oh, I've made a terrible mistake.
Yes, you have.
And it shattered.
It began
like
with you standing
glass.
Among all the women. You can't tell me any different now. I don't care. You may say you were at the back of the room, but you were hopeful. I know.
Somebody love me.
Oh my God. So next one is from Tina. I don't know if Tina wants her name said, but anyway, Tina, at my wedding, the best man got absolutely hammered. That's a shocker. And ended up having a fight with his girlfriend who was at the back of the room. Well, I think the fact that the girlfriend was at the back of the room says everything at the start. She shouted up that he should stop talking because he was drunk. We know people like that, don't we?
Yeah, I love that attitude.
I know, I love it. And he told her that he would be finished when he was finished. That's a good Irish attitude. And that he'd never marry her. She dumped him the next morning, but stayed for breakfast. Legend. So she stayed for our breakfast. I don't blame her.
I don't blame her.
No, I don't blame her.
Because the price you pay for a hotel,
uh-huh.
You price you pay for a hotel when it's a wedding. Because the other way they do that thing, it was like, is it a wedding? Oh yeah, then sorry, it's like 70 quid extra.
The thing is, if it's a nice hotel, it's a good breakfast.
Exactly.
And let's be honest, we all get the value out of the breakfast if we're having bed and breakfast anyway.
You absolutely rinse
it. You eat
it.
Things. Honestly, yeah. I went on tour with Menopause the Musical and we were in hotels everywhere. And every morning for a while, I was getting up, eating the full Irish, you might say. And actually, I thought by the end of it, I was on the porridge because I couldn't cope. You eat so much on a bed and breakfast. Yeah, I wouldn't have left without my breakfast.
Well done, Tina. She left without the man. Those best men speeches. Mm? They're horrific.
Oh, yeah. They're actually a minefield.
And like, if you're listening to this and you're going to make a best man speech, don't have a drink.
Also.
Just don't.
A, have your speeches before dinner, because then you have to be able to eat your dinner. Right? That's a really big one.
I once went to a wedding and there was 2.5 hours of speeches.
That's too much.
I'll never forget it as long as I live.
It's too much. And don't attempt to be funny if you're not funny.
Exactly. Be heartfelt.
Heartfelt.
Yeah. Tell a nostalgic story about the time you were climbing trees together. But don't try and make jokes.
If I was your best man, I'd be heartfelt.
Next up is Alan. Oh my God. Oh my God. In 2010, my mother went to a wedding and my father was working. So she went along with my best friend's mother, who brought her new boyfriend, who was wearing a kilt. You see, any story that involves a kilt, it just will never end well.
No, but we're also already creating the whole scenario ourselves, aren't we?
We know exactly. Yeah, I mean, we know the region that this is going to, and it's not Scotland.
No. Was he Scottish?
They were staying in an old guest house, and when the wedding was over, my mother went back to her room and went to the bathroom. When she came out of the bathroom, her friend and her boyfriend were sitting on my mother's bed. The boyfriend asked if she wanted to touch his sperm.
This is not where I thought this was going. I'll be honest with you.
My mother was absolutely horrified, but they said they thought she had been giving them vibes all night. They didn't speak for about 3 years.
What? The mother and the sperm?
I presume it's the mother and the best friend's mother.
Oh my gosh. Vibes.
But do you know what I think is incredible about this story? Is that she came home from a wedding and went, your best friend's mother wanted me in a three-way.
How did they get into her room?
I don't know. I must ask that. I guess it's really? Probably, like, if it was an old guest. We all want to know how to break into a hotel room.
Yeah, we do.
It's handy. But I guess it's an old guest house, so maybe there just was keys or something and she didn't lock the door.
Maybe so.
Or maybe she left the door open and she was totally down for it and chickened out.
So Alan's saying that his mother was absolutely horrified.
His mother was absolutely horrified, and that they didn't speak, the two mothers didn't speak for 3 years.
Imagine.
I'd love to know what the first conversation after 3 years was.
Well, how's the sparring?
So what the hell happened there, Vivian?
Oh no, the next one is very short. I'm going to say.
And in a very similar vein.
And yet, it begs many questions and many observations. It's literally one sentence, and it says, I had sex at a wedding and the automatic air freshener kept going off. That's all you need to know about that whole thing. Yeah. That could have been, I had sex at a car wash and the air freshener. I think the same conclusion to everybody's head is, you were in a toilet.
I mean, if the air freshener kept going off, if that's a feature in your hotel room, I think you'd want to... You want to start having a look at your personal hygiene.
Shane, I feel you've written into us before.
I think Shane probably has.
I think Shane is waiting to see.
That's quite familiar.
I think you should read the next one because it's only written to you.
Oh!
Yeah, but that, to be fair, they don't know why you're asking for these questions yet. This is us just coming out.
Oh, of course. Yeah, because it's on my social media.
We're just coming out, Grot.
We're just kidding.
You're better at this than me.
It's our coming out.
Yes, go on anyway.
Hey, Grot, I'm not sure if this is the kind of story you're looking for, but I think it's unusual. One of my best friends was engaged, wedding and everything booked. About 8 months before the wedding day, my friend and her fiancé split up. Oh. On the day she was due to get married, she went out and met a guy from a nearby town and kissed him. Good girl. It ended up that he actually worked with her ex. Anyway, fast forward a couple of years and my friend ended up getting married to this guy.
Which one?
I guess the guy she kissed.
The guy she kissed.
What's unusual, you say? Well, the groomsman was her ex-fiance. So my friend was walking up the aisle of the church with her fiance and ex-fiance, both standing at the top of the church. Oh, and she also had the same church, venue and reception, as the first one was supposed to have as well.
Okay, so At the moment, do you remember many years ago the song "It Should Have Been Me"? Do you remember that song?
Yes,
should have been me. In the church, and he's shouting and screaming. That's what comes to my mind in here. Is the ex-fiance in his head singing that song, or is is he singing a song about "Thank God I missed that bullet, I shot the kid"? I don't know what that's about. I
think what's interesting about this is this feels like it's from the Niamh Kavanagh School of Practicality, in the sense that. That she was like, I've got a wedding booked. I know where it is. I've got all of these details. It was supposed to be today. You. I just need something to slot into this.
Well, clearly the ex-fiancé was fine with it. You know,
do you know what? The dynamic of this letter changes completely depending on who broke up with who.
Yeah, true.
Which is fascinating.
Do you think the ex-fiancé was sitting there weeping all the way through it? Because that would be a moment, wouldn't it? Be slightly awkward.
I think if he was still weeping, he wouldn't have been the groom. No.
Okay, but I have another question, right? Because we all love when an ex has regret.
We love a bit of regret.
We do love
it. They all regret it.
Yeah.
Everyone who's hurt us.
We want them to miss us so much.
That's exactly
that regret
it.
Is their middle name. Okay. It's a very modern story.
I don't know if it's modern. I think it's more, I actually think it's actually very parochial. It's like, she's now available, next. Everything's booked.
It's a rural story, maybe.
Yeah, fair play to her.
Yeah, but you know,
I like this approach.
I do.
But also, what I love is the idea of her walking up the aisle and going, yeah, this is what you could have had.
This is what you could have had.
Oh, well.
Shaz, I was asked to be chief bridesmaid for my sister-in-law, and I have never done it before. I get on well with my sister-in-law, but I'm not sure what I should be doing. With the restrictions, the goalposts have been moving on for the hen night. Yeah, that's a bit of one, isn't it? She doesn't like any of my suggestions, and she is really picking out some awful dresses for me. Do you think I should pull out? I don't want to make things awkward, but this isn't working out. I think they're awkward already, Shaz. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, Shaz is on the brink of a resignation. And you know what? I'm kind of with Shaz on this. Because that's the thing when you get asked. Have you ever been a bridesmaid?
Yes. I have.
How was that, Niamh?
Shall we say, not my thing? No, to be fair, the first time I was a bridesmaid was with my sister in, my eldest sister got married. And I was... What age was I? She was maybe 22. So I was maybe 18. I was 18. Right?
Okay.
So she was, 22 and I was 18. And I was the third bridesmaid, which is not the one you want to be, because the first two bridesmaids get all the shouts about, you know.
Oh, so they were like, no, we'll have grey dresses with no makeup.
Oh, no. Even better. There was peach satin off the shoulder. Both of my sister, my next eldest sister and my cousin were tall, thin, not very busty, and had long hair. So the decisions were a dress that accentuates the fact that I have slightly more on top, and the dress was not for small people like me. And on top of that, they decided to wear their hair up, and my hair was like short with a slight perm in it. And so in order for mine to look up, I had to kind of put loads of combs around, and they put baby's breath in their hair, which was a thing back in the 80s, and it looked like a cow pat on my head. So don't get me wrong, I love my sister.
You're over it, clearly, by the sound of it.
I did not enjoy being
the PTSD
big dress
that is sitting opposite me right now.
And I think it's very obvious in my Eurovision journey afterwards how little I enjoy the dress situation. And I think it comes from that moment of really understanding that I had absolutely no control over what they were going to put me in. And I did not enjoy it. I couldn't wait to get out of the big dress. And it just didn't. Being third bridesmaid is not a thing. A chief bridesmaid, yes, you have a job. Third bridesmaid has no job except to stand there and show everybody how not to wear a dress. That's it. And,
that's a really good point, because the first bridesmaids get the shout.
Third bridesmaid, you just fall in. That's it.
So what you need to ask is, when somebody asks you to be a bridesmaid, it's like, what's the role here?
Yeah.
Am I first or second? Because it sounds like Shaz is chief. Oh, she is chief bridesmaid.
Yeah.
See, I did best man once.
Yeah.
For my brother.
Right.
And I was kind of terrified. But the amount of work, even on the day, mm-hmm. of like collecting presents and making sure stuff goes to the, like, it's a lot of work. And one of the things that happened on the day was a band showed up, set up, and I was like, brilliant, that's grand. The band are here. There's nothing else to do now. So I was like, I'm going to go for like half an hour up to the room just to sit down for half an hour and relax. And I got a phone call. The band had packed up and left.
Why?
Because they were in the wrong venue. They were like 2 hours from where they were supposed to be.
The first 2 years of my singing career was in a wedding band called Runaway. And I adored, we were like a family, all of us. But the things you see as a wedding singer from the stage, just saying. And I have great stories about the time when I would have done the wedding singing. And obviously, back in that time, you got singers up after the break. We used to get the singers up after the break. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because there's always an aunt that wants to do Tina Turner, isn't there?
Back then, back in the 80s when I did it, the songs were I Will Survive by Gloria Gaynor.
Of course.
By the way they walked up whether they were going to sing I Will Survive or The Power of Love by Jennifer Rush. So they were either madly in love, but if they walked with purpose, I Will Survive was coming. And then if we didn't particularly like the crew, that if they were a bit unappealing as a group, because you don't love all your wedding groups.
At that level, you really don't.
And the funny part was, at the end of it, if you didn't, you sang Summertime before the break and at least four people left because it was their song. No. And actually, we used to sing.
What a passive aggressive move. I love it.
And the other thing we used to do was one of our most popular songs as wedding singers, as a wedding band, was we did it every time. The boys hated it because they thought they were a rock and roll band, but I loved it. And we used to sing Who's Sorry Now by Connie Francis. And they loved it. The crowd loved Who's Sorry Now. They absolutely, and I enjoyed the thrill of it because it was so fun to do it. And anybody who's ever seen me gig knows that I love that kind of irony in a song. It was one of the most popular wedding songs, most requested.
I love it.
Not really for the couple who was getting married. It was the ones who were already married in the room. Loved that.
Yeah, and also that would have been a great one to do at Anne-Marie's one. You know?
Just leave that there now. Okay.
So what's our advice then? Like, we have to give Shaz some advice. Do you think she should pull out? I mean, I think if it's not working, don't have this escalate into something you have a row over.
I think pulling out is going to be a thing. I think you have to swallow it. This is not about you, Shaz. And I'm sorry that you're there. But what you should do after the wedding, and be very brutal about it, which is what I did after my sister's wedding. I told everybody I knew, and even people who I didn't know, that I would never be a bridesmaid again.
Oh, wow.
And I did it once more.
I thought you were going to say I'd slash the tires in the wedding car.
No, I told them I would clean the church for them. I would do anything. Inevitably, I would sing for them. But basically, I did not want to be a bridesmaid again. And I don't get me wrong. I understand it's a great honor to be asked.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it's important who you have as your bridesmaid or your best
friend. Yeah.
But the truth is, it's not necessary for me to be that person. I'm special enough to you. No, do you know?
Neve feels special.
I don't need to be a bridesmaid.
Needs to be your bride. So anyone that's going to write in and ask Neve to be their bridesmaid. It's a hard no.
No, it's a hard no.
Unless there's a trouser suit, we can maybe have a conversation. Okay. But like, yeah. You know.
No.
I think that had you at that wedding had the box you stood on to the Eurovision 2010. No. I think your whole approach to this could have been very different.
There's no need for that.
Very approach. Different.
No need for that. I'm wounded now. Shaz, this is not solving Shaz's problem either.
Shaz. Okay. Shaz, maybe sit her down and go, look, I think I'm hitting all the wrong notes here. I don't think I put anything forward that you're interested in yet. So maybe tell me exactly what you want.
Yeah. And the other thing I'm going to say to Shaz is about the dress, just suck it up. It's only a dress for a day. Yeah. Of course, the photographs are going to be on the mantelpiece forever.
How long ago was your bridesmaid situation?
Okay, it's a long time ago.
Okay, yeah.
86.
Yeah, 86. Okay, yeah. So it's just a day, Shaz. That's what Neva's saying.
It's just a day.
But if you want to see the rage, the rage that is sitting opposite me decades later.
No, there's no rage. I love my sister and I was glad to do it.
Of course.
But I just, no, look, you know, Shaz, this is her day. Your sister-in-law is going to be in your life for a long time, or at least until the divorce. So just, no, sorry, that's wrong. Yeah. But you know what I'm talking about here. It really, Shaz, you know, you have to decide how much you love your family and go, this is going to be okay. I can swallow it for one day. And then just take a holiday afterwards.
Yeah.
Take a holiday.
And yeah, treat yourself.
Yeah. Just know, offers up. There'll be a place.
There's a place in heaven.
Yes. And this too will pass. Trust me.
Yeah. So maybe like have a conversation. There's a bit of sucking up to be done. But I get it that when you wrote this, you were probably having a bit of a tantrum. But
yeah,
you
know I can understand.
Do have the tantrums.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's important you have to. But I mean, do you know what the other thing to do is? Afterwards, you can be really clear about how you felt about this.
Yeah. It's good. It's good to do that.
Yeah. On her wedding day, give her a hug and say something along the lines of, I swear to God, I will have my revenge for this.
Oh, and if you're not married yet, Chaz, it might be the other way around. Maybe this is like a sister-in-law through, you know, some other way.
Yeah, that's it. That coming from Niamh there, it's basically what she's saying is perpetuate the cycle of abuse among bridesmaids. We are stopping for a moment to remind you that Agony Rants is part of the Headstuff Podcast Network. If you would like to support the show, you can become a member for as little as €5 a month. And in return for that, you will get bonus content from us and also bonus content from all of the shows across the Headstuff Podcast Network. Our bonus content will be coming soon and it is incredible, isn't it, Niamh?
Oh, beyond.
Niamh is going to be absolutely ruined.
Mind
career destroyed,
blown.
Reputation in tatters.
National treasure, no more.
The show that we are cross-promoting this week is Cine Stream Club, which is a brilliant new show, and it is hosted by Trevor Brown with comedians Edwin Salmon and Andrea Farrell, and they all talk classic movies. They are three very funny comedians, and they have very funny takes on movies. I've had a listen to a couple of episodes, and it's very good. It's very good. So you can have a listen to it right now.
I'm Trevor.
I'm Ed.
And I'm Andrea.
And we are
The CineStream Club,
where we take a movie
that society deems a classic
and put it to the CineStream test,
where we ask all the tough questions like,
does this movie make any sense?
Why isn't Tom Hanks in this movie?
How many sandwiches are in this film?
What kind of watches are people wearing?
Was that sex scene really necessary, says my mother?
What trivia does Trev know in Trev's Trivia?
What trivia do I know in Trev's Trivia?
That's what I said.
Okay.
Yeah. All these questions and more will be answered every fortnight in the CineStream Club.
Available from wherever you get your podcasts.
And the Headstuff Podcast Network.
And so, what is our general feeling about weddings?
Well, I've been completely put off. I mean, no one, nobody said anything. Like, I've heard nothing that makes me want to ever go down this
route. Not even my lovely story about how happily I've been married for a long time.
Yeah, but you're very happily married. Yeah,
I am.
Absolutely, you are. And
for at least, hold
good
on.
For you.
How old is my
good head? For you.
How old is my youngest son? Yeah, for at least 18 years.
Yeah.
But no, you know, I'm just saying, Grod, there's a lot of wonderful things about wedding days. And actually, the things that people talk about afterwards are not the lovely things necessarily. They're often quite the funny things. So, you know, I say just go with it. You know, weddings are just what they are.
Weddings are whatever you want them to be.
And let's be honest, you and I are available for hire for a lot of money if at a push.
I don't know, Niamh. I mean... I think stand-up comedy at a wedding, I don't think
it's never, a thing.
It never
it's
goes
a thing.
Well.
And these days they can't dance at
if
weddings.
If you're going to do it, just get hire river dance. Hire river dance. That's what to do. Get this, you know, there's always a couple of that'll come and do river dance.
River dance?
That's a thing at weddings. After the speeches, it'll be like
I was out of weddings
Irish
by then.
Dancers get up.
Think about it. I was out of weddings by then because river dance happened because of me. I won.
Do you know?
And then I gave river dance to the world.
Do you know what?
Okay.
I've always said this about Niamh. It's her humility. That's what it is.
Grown.
That's what makes you a national treasure. It's her humility.
Anyway, so
thank you so much for listening.
Yes, we love you so much for listening. And I hope to God you're going to listen to more. And more importantly, when we put up a category, please send us lots
yes.
of interesting
Send us
stories.
Your stories and your secrets and your problems. I mean, we're getting problems now, so we may as well, we'll do problems.
We do problems.
agonyrants@gmail.com. Sometimes we'll do stuff on Instagram. I'm Ackerod Verily. Neve is NeveCavanagh93.
That'd be me.
And you can send your stories through to us. And there will be bonus episodes coming later in the season.
Yes.
So thanks for listening.
We'll see you soon, and look after yourselves.
This show is part of the Head Stuff Podcast Network, a hub for the creative and the curious. Shows are produced in association with Head Stuff and the Podcast Studios Dublin. Find out more or become a member at headstuffpodcasts.com.
If you want to support this podcast and get a full ad-free episode, sign up to Head Stuff Plus.